This was our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive
revelation that is found in the written word. As the word is taught us,
we receive it with gladness, with meekness, with readiness of heart, to walk in the light of it. Amen. Okay, Matthew 28, from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's what exhausts your authority, is given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 16 from verse 15. Mark 16 from verse 15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Hallelujah. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name don't cast out devils.
Hallelujah. So they would speak with new tongues. They would pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They would lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover.
So then, after the Lord had spoken to them,
he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Luke 24 from verse 45. Luke 24 from verse 45. It says, and he opened he their understanding, that they might comprehend the scripture. Thus it is written, and thus it beholds Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of this thing. John 20. John 20. Hallelujah. Verses 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remitted. And whosoever ye retain, I retain. Since in the second part, in the retain, it's italicized. It's not actually in the original. Hallelujah. So that means the believers, like I said to us last week, I said the believers have a responsibility to function in the stead of God. Right? Right? To function in the stead of God. To forgive sins. And forgiving of sins is not telling somebody, I forgive your sins, but even the preaching of the gospel. So forgiveness of sins is not what we work for. Rather, forgiveness of sins is what we received in the new birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said this will be Jesus' closing remark. Right? Within the 40 days. And we said that closing remark will be can be summarized into the entrance into discipleship when a man believed the gospel preached. Right? So, Luke will say the gospel of God's of forgiveness of sins. So, when a man receives the gospel, he is born again. He has entered into discipleship. Right? So, we say we summarize it as the entrance into discipleship and discipleship itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, last week we said it's not enough for you to lead. It's not enough for you to lead people to being saved. It's not enough for you to lead people to receiving Christ. It's not enough. Hallelujah. It's not enough. I just started my teaching system. I just started. Amen. So it's not enough for you to lead people to receiving Christ. It's not enough. We said you have to go further. Hallelujah. You have to go further. So it's not just leading them to receiving Christ. You have to go further. And what is that further? To discipling them. Hallelujah. Discipling them. Getting them disciples. Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul speaks about God's desire. And he says God's desire in 1 Timothy 2:4 is to have all men saved. All men saved. That is entrance into discipleship and come to the knowledge of the truth. Coming to the knowledge of the truth is discipleship itself. Coming to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. coming to the knowledge of the truth. So God's plan is for men to be saved and to be discipled. That's God's plan. Amen. God's plan is not just get saved. That's all. No, get saved and grow. Hallelujah. When you get saved, you come to know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said the primary activity in discipleship is teaching. Teaching them. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them. Primary activity is teaching. Hallelujah. Very vital. Because God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to come to the knowledge of Him. Hope you're with me. God wants you to come to the knowledge of Him. They just want to save the Lord. I assured us last week, I said Paul will rank in understanding the things of the Spirit, he will rank the unbeliever and the believer who is not taught on the same pedestal. The difference is that one is saved, the other is not saved, but they are both on the same pedestal because they have no knowledge. So an unbeliever, a believer will behave like an unbeliever. I mean, a believer who is not taught will behave like an unbeliever in the things concerning God. Because he's not taught. Hallelujah, believer who is not taught. Hallelujah. Amen. An unbeliever will carry Shango, carry a carved image. A believer who is not taught will carry a carved image to and put in the house and say it's God. You think, what's the difference? Amen. Glory to God. An unbeliever have the picture or has a carving of Shango, you have a picture of somebody you call Jesus. What's the difference? Say one is Jesus. No. Hallelujah. I'm going to deal with that subsequently, not today. It's not different. Amen. Maybe some people have to find Jesus' picture anyway. You find it anywhere. The only picture now I want to actually put in my house is Chelsea's picture. Amen. Put Chelsea on my Chelsea jersey and my trophy. Because we are going for the trophy. Hallelujah. We dealt with some people yesterday. They didn't believe it. We are the underdog. Amen. Glory to God. We are the underdog. But seriously, you can't go to my house and I look for Jesus' picture. But I thought he's a pastor. Where is Jesus' picture? It's not only Jesus' picture you see. Jesus is in my house. Want to see his picture? In my house. Amen. You find this picture in my heart. So you say, no, Jesus' picture, Jesus' frame. Some people frame it. There's no difference between that. Yeah? And in the morning, you are going out of your house, you get to the building like this. You go out. What do you know that? You know, I'm just greeting Jesus. I'm greeting Jesus. You have to go out. So you are going out, you are doing like this. To who? Picture. What is the difference between you and the person that carried champagne and pour on the floor in front of him? You don't. Oh, you've not thought of it that way. That's just it. So I'm saying you shouldn't liken him to any image. Don't liken him to any image. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I was telling someone something one time already. I was like, hey, Jesus like this. Come down. In that day, was there camera? Do you have any archaeological book that shows pictures in their day? They know. So what are you saying? How can you say that? That's a Roman. They gave you Roman picture. But that guy that added that Jesus movie there, that thing became a stigma in his life. He added Jesus movie and he can't walk on the street again. Everybody say, I say, Jesus, Jesus. I am just like Akia for Paul. He couldn't have done it. You know, he can become a museum. You know, people will be coming to worship Jesus. Nonsense. Hallelujah. Just imagine you ask. That is not hard. Don't you ask Jesus? Will you just smack you? Bam, you put it at home. Bam. Anyway, even the child has not seen it. Jesus, forgive my sins. No, I acted. No, Jesus. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So an unbeliever and a believer who is not taught God's word will have misconception. Just like an unbeliever as regards things of the spirit, as regards God, as regards theology. And that is why it's very vital that you are taught God's word. It's very vital. See, I said this to us in the last teaching. I said pride in accurate understanding of God's word. I'm telling you. Thank God you know what you're knowing today. Thank God. There are people who could pay, who can pay for to hear what you're hearing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God you're hearing what you're hearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said, you can't serve God effectively. You can't serve God effectively. Okay, sorry, put it like this. Your service to God is effective to the degree of your knowledge of Him. Many times true. Many times true. Hallelujah. Many times. Correct? Hallelujah. Are there times where you this can break up the barriers? Yes, 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 there are times. But I'm telling you, the effectiveness of your service is to the degree of your knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I would say it's because God wants us to come to know Him. That's the reason why He gave us the local church. That's the reason why He gave us the local church. That's the reason why we have the gathering of believers. Hallelujah. Because He doesn't want people to have personal, put it like this, personal, there's nothing called personal revelation of God. There's nothing like that. It's a scam. See, my personal revelation of God is a scam. It's not of God. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to have personal revelation of Him. How are you hearing me? God wants us to have the same revelation of Him. That is why He gave us the local church. Gave us the scriptures. Hallelujah. He gave us the scriptures, He gave us the local church. There is nothing like my personal revelation of God. No. There's not like my personal revelation of a scripture. No. Hallelujah. Amen. We're all going to write the same exams. And you're having personal revelation of what is in the textbook. Hallelujah. Just come back next year. Amen. They are teaching you Pythagoras theorem. Hypotenuse is equal to, get the hypotenuse is adjacent square. You see, is it plus now? Plus opposite square or square root, whatever, whatever. And you answer, no. My personal revelation of Pythagoras theorem is that you just add the opposite and the adjacent. Divide it by 2 and multiply it by the power of 10. That is my partner. You be faith. You will not, you be faith. Well, you're not supposed to have a personal revelation of me. You're supposed to read it, understand the theorem, and put it down. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me.
Hallelujah.
Ade is a boy who went to government college. Did I ask you the question, who is Ade? By my personal revelation, Ade looks like a boy, but if you dissect and look at it in total, he's actually a female with a male's body. You fail. Say that. Why would you fail? Because the question is, who is Ade? Ade is a boy who went to better than the girl. Any other thing you want to add is your whole cup of tea, but you fail. Hallelujah. Can you see how God works? So He doesn't want us to have personal revelation of Him. No. What is personal revelation of the scriptures. That's what I mean now. Personal revelation of the scriptures. My own personal one. How is it? My own personal one. Look at what the scripture says. Yes, I understand. I can see. It's clear. Written clearly. But my personal revelation of this. You are gone. Hallelujah, there's nothing like that. We must have the same view of the world. That's why He gave us the local church. That's the reason for the local church. You remember I showed you in Ephesians chapter 4 last week, we said he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He said for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That we all come to the unity of faith. And he called the unity of faith the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. So that means the reason for the local church is so that we'll grow. But for this is that we'll be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's very vital. Very vital. So he gave the local church so that we can be well brought up. So we all come, growth, to the unity of faith. We'll be no more children. Did you see that? Growth, training. So the reason for the local church is so that we are trained. That we are well trained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, God trains us. What are you hearing me? God trains us. He trains us in the local church. God trains us in the local church. Hallelujah. Like I said to us too last week, there's nothing like I want to know scriptures on my own. That is what is betting. It's the same, my personal revelation. It has not graduated from my personal revelation of a scripture to now I can know God on my own. Now it's graduating to I can serve God, not in the church, can serve God in my house. Did you see that? It's now going to online. I cannot serve God alone. The church has left the building. That's nonsense. Hallelujah. You must never, I say this, you must never get to that point where you begin to say, my partner view. No. Hallelujah. We're going to see a couple of things shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's God training. God trains us in the local church. God is the one doing it, but he's doing it with the agency of his men, the leadership. He trains us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Take notes. Training usually isn't what you want to enjoy. Nobody wants to go for training. I want to enjoy training today.
You are not training. Amen. Amen. See, I want to train. I want to train. You jump from year to year. You didn't feel anything say, yes, I've trained. No. Training means you won't enjoy it. You have to enjoy it. That's training. Hallelujah. But how do you train? You have to enjoy it.
Now the reason why we have several people say, no, the church has left the building, my pastor has said, is because they don't want to be trained. Because training is not going to suit your desire, or what that is not going to suit your fantasy. No, training is training. Hallelujah. That is why Paul will call the believer a soldier. He tells that to Timothy. He calls him a soldier. Hallelujah. A soldier. Hallelujah. So in training, listen here, in training, you don't choose how you should be trained. So today, I don't want to do jogging. I want to do walking. I don't want to do 100 kilometers. Well, just give me 5 kilometers. You don't dictate the pace. Hallelujah. You don't. Hallelujah. And if you don't dictate the pace. When it comes to training, you usually would not enjoy it. You would have to endure it. And there are two different things. You have to endure it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So therefore, Paul warns in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3. He said, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will heap up teachers. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see that? He said they will not endure sound doctrine. Endure. Because sound doctrine is part of training. So, you don't enjoy. I said this and I want to say it again. You don't come to church to enjoy the message. Amen. And that's the problem with some people. Oh no, yes, come to church. I know the pastor, chuck me one.
You don't enjoy doctrine. The pastor ministered to me.
Ah,
you don't have to be talking to me. This week, everybody that does not have problems. Your problems are dropped. Next week you go. This week! Next week, this week! I speak into your week. Upward and forward and advancing. This week!
Every week, this week.
Like that church. You just give me, papa, just give me the word for the noun. Papa, rema, rema, boom!
No. Sound doctrine should be endured because it's part of training. That sometimes we only have once in a year when we take that long teaching.
But we're going to increase it. We can just take sometimes up in the year, just go somewhere and then we teach a long time. Sometimes go somewhere, we have, it's got venue for now, we have VG.
Hallelujah.
Long time. Not waiting for prayer retreat and this and that. Just pray.
Have VG. Study God's word for us. It's part of training.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You won't like it now. When you are struggling with the sleep, you are writing and the way you know you begin to draw Mickey Mouse. I open your eyes. Everything pastor has said for 5 minutes is just one, just this short line.
You understand? You wake up and sleep.
You have somebody like that too, Eutychus. Paul was teaching, he slept off. When you know when you are sleeping down, dude, when you open his eyes, he was on the floor. Upstairs down, died. Sleeping. Amen. Brother you see. Sister, you see, open your eyes,
lest you fall. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
But it's training. It's training. When you go for prayer retreats, when you go for prayer meeting, you are everybody is praying.
And the next thing, you are now like this. In your heart, you think you are praying, but you are gone. Right. You can, you can have 4 dreams. I'm a shaking the ground.
It's training.
When your waist is buckled, you can't stand again. You just have
there is no amount of skill you practice before GTLR that can save your waist.
No amount of skill. Everybody, me, you know the amount of skill that I did when I was going to WCC for the first time? All of them failed.
Last 2 years there was there's a pastor friend of mine say, pastor, if you mix fearless, put stomp, I say it will fail. Say no, put stomp inside fearless. If you put it inside fearless like this, it will keep your eye over as a man of God. Give me some UCO. He said no, I've seen you walk. I said, okay. I will not do the fearless. He said, don't worry, you buy me the fearless, put it under. The fearless became fearful. By 1 year. 1 year. My eyes were red. I said, God, why did I get this fearless? It's even making me sleepy.
And you know that at 1 a.m. you just started. Because you see the awake till night. And by when you have like 14 hours more, if I really say, God, what is all this? I didn't go back to fearless at Tonton again, but what?
Man of the half, how you doing?
It did not work, oh. It did not work. We'll carry something and tie their waist. Tie the waist. You see, tie the waist.
Amen, it's a hook. So forget. Amen, it's training. Amen, it is training. And see, you know what? If you don't have training, you can't have it.
No matter how you try to fix it, you can never have it. Hallelujah. So you must always be ready to train. And that is what the local church is. Must be trained. No matter how you try to fix it, I can find out.
You don't have the training. One more thing, you don't know it. You can't give it. Amen? You can't give it. You must be trained. that's why sometimes I laugh at some people when they miss special meetings. It's part of the training.
You cannot teach things apart from me that can eat meat without eating rice. You cannot eat meat without eating the food. You know what I mean by that? So the whole thing is a complete package. You cannot be around for all the meetings and special meetings you are missing out. You are half baked. I, your pastor, cannot trust.
I'm saying it openly. I can't trust anybody who I don't see for special meetings.
I can't. I must see you all the meetings.
If I only see you during teaching meetings, I don't see you during prayer meetings. You just like sweet words. You want to do already your head. Shoot me, pastor, shoot me. Come on, brother. That is where the teaching is coming from. Come, let's do it. So if you can stand, we can stand as those hours. Next year we see again. We double it. You are doing it. Go. Amen. I remember one sister like that during WCC. Why am I sharing WCC? Well, I'm in the mood of WCC already.
I was like that during WCC. We just started.
When you know the journey. The journey is it was in the evening. We will see the sun. The sun will set. Abi? Hey, the sun will set. Yeah. So we just started. You know they say, okay, let's start praying. There is just this sober mood, you enter and pray. You know that way, oh papa! The way we do like that, everybody will know that this one just came. First day. The JJC. let's start to pray.
Because you know you have to. It's more like running marathon. It's more run fast.
It's that slow. Because the journey is far.
And take notes. You're not permitted to drink water. For it.
So the sun will rise, the sun will set in your head. Think very well. Hallelujah, boys, training. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Your body can fail, you can get tired, but you know what? You have the training. Hallelujah. There is that training of the strength. If you don't have it, forget it, you can't have it. Except you have it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So when he says they have to have itching ears means you want to hear things that will tickle your fancy. Hallelujah. But hearing things alone that tickle your fancy, not what tickle them is just heavy work. Let me copy something that Pastor Wisdom told me lately. I don't remember the name of the minister. He said, worship, right, is to... Say it again, me. So we say, that is work. So worship is to have the opportunity to host God. Brother, let's analyze it. How does that one make sense? It's to host God. We say, what?
You don't want to hear BB. So people, their problem is they went to grammar school. They don't hear BB grammar.
The reason for this is because the reason why Adam and Eve ate the fruit is because you horizontal impetus. You know the line with the vertical capability. You say, this man has what?
You just want them to just tickle your ear.
And that is, that means to say, Adam and Eve were not able to lambano God and say, what now?
Some people, what is just add one Greek.
When you lambano, you catch a lambano. Say, this man is what happened. Otu. You don't know anything. Hallelujah. Just want their ears to hear sweet words, new words every day. It's not true. Because when it comes to training, repetition is part of training. You must be, so I'm going to deal with this
with us maybe in January. You must understand how not to listen to hear things always that would tickle your fancy. We'll deal with this in January. Hallelujah.
You must always understand that repetition is growth. You must be able to endure boredom. It's boredom.
You must be able to endure it.
It's part of training.
Can't go into training and you want to hear something new.
No, repetition.
You must be ready to hear things again.
Hallelujah.
You can't come to church and you are looking to hear something new.
After Jesus died, he was buried and he rose again. He is in you.
There's nothing else. That is all. He is in me. So the reality of him in us is what we need. No. He said it's not something else like how to become rich quick. Go and do poverty.
So we're in the church. Then let's start. Sir, I think we can just put icing on the cake by having businessmen fellowship. Who will be the president? You guys are joking. The businessmen fellowship. You know, sometimes we have aspiring entrepreneurs that will be selling land and doing... No. Go in the church. Go and do that outside. Amen. Amen. Never give heed to itching ears. Hallelujah. It's not part of training. You can have someone being enrolled as a soldier and is going to Kaduna to go and be trained. And he says, sorry, training commander. The kind of training I want you to give me is not frog dog, sir. Just tell me to just go around the goalpost. Go around goalpost, come. You will suck yourself inside inside mud. They will flog you. Say, sir, it's not part of training. All is training. Sometimes you go for days without food. Ask them. For days. Sometimes you don't even choose the kind of food they give to you. They give you undone beans. And instead of training, you know, undone beans. The beans is not okay. And you have to eat it so that they will start, you wash your stomach. It's part of the training. So that you eat beans without oil. I've never done it in my life. You do it then. I've never bathed my hair before. They will cut your hair. In fact, they will just cut your hair. You won't see a strand of hair on your head. It's part of the training. Hallelujah. Amen. It's training. So nobody chooses how he should be trained. So when we go to verse 2, he tells the pastor, he says, preach the word. The instant in season and another season, rebuke. He tells him to rebuke. So rebuke is part of training. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nobody likes rebuke. Nobody likes rebuke. But in training, you cannot resist it. Hallelujah. You must receive rebuke. It's part of the package. It's part of the package. Hallelujah. So you become silly when you say, no, it's part of the package. Say, my pastor, I'm close to my pastor, he cannot rebuke me. You are fault. Because you will never grow. You rebuke is part of it. So when they don't get rebuked, they will now form carcass. Carcass of those who have been rebuked in church. This is not part of it. Does it make sense?
Amen. No, you don't do that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very vital. That shows you that when a man is born again, he's not born again to himself. He's born again to a gathering. He's born again to a gathering.
He's born again to God's family.
God's family. First.
He's born again. So he's born again to God's family. So that means when you are born again, you are inducted into the family of God. Listen, the family of God. Never forget that. You are inducted, you are in a family. So you're not born again alone. Say, I'm born again on my own or for my own. No, you are born again into a family. God's family. How about family? God's family. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Your family.
Glory to God.
You are born again into a gathering of believers. Now, you are born again to God's family, spiritual, right?
Also, now that spiritual family of God
which includes every believer all over the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're born again into God's family. And because of the fact that we're born again into God's family, we are now to belong to the local church. Hallelujah. Because the local church is God's family in a physical location. Okay, follow me. God's family in a physical location is the local church. So if you believe you have been born into God's family, you have to believe in the local church. Because the local churches was spoken of about in scriptures by Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're not born again to ourselves. We're born again into a gathering of believers. Hallelujah. The local church is God's family. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2. I'd like to go back a bit for now. Acts 2. So, like I said, we're looking at what? The brotherly duty. Right? This is the second session. I discovered I didn't say that at the beginning. Did I say that at the beginning? Okay. The brotherly duty. So just an omission on my part. Acts 2. Verse 42. It says, and they continue, verses 41. It says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same thing were added to them. About 3,000 were added to them. Acts 2 verses 41. They were added to them. The church. Hallelujah. The local church. Did you see that? They were added to the local church. So those who God saved were added to the local church. So you're not born again to yourself. No. You are born again to a local assembly. So, born again to a local assembly, born again to a family, a physical family, right? Of believers, right?
Yes, sir.
Can we now therefore say, we are born again into a relationship? Amen. Amen. You are born again into a relationship. The same way a child, when he or she is born into the world, he or she doesn't have to determine the relationship he will get. Hallelujah. He is born into the world, into a family, into a relationship. Hallelujah. You don't say, I don't want this person as my father. No. Amen. You are born into a family. The same way we were born again, we are born into a physical family of, a physical family, right? We are born into a physical family that is God's family. Very vital. Hallelujah. Very vital. We are born again into that. Therefore, scriptures doesn't just teach you about God. No. Scripture doesn't just teach you about God. Theology. No. But also, scripture guides us in all our relationship with fellow believers in the local church. Fellow believers. So we have guide from the scriptures on how we relate to fellow believers. How we relate to fellow believers. Look at something here. In John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. I'll take a couple of scriptures here. A couple of verses. From verse 11. Are you there? Let's rush down there. Amen. He says, for this is the message that he has heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Right? Right? From the beginning, is it from Genesis? Okay. That we should love one another. Not as Cain. Did you see that? It goes back to Cain. We should love one another. Relationships. Did you see that? Said not like Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And therefore slew, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother righteous. Can you see that? Relationship. Hallelujah. Verse 30 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we are far from death unto life because we love the brethren. Watch that. He that loved not his brother abided in death. Now, brother here is talking about supernatural relationships. So that means we are born again into supernatural relationships. Look at the next verse. Okay,
verse 15. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Whereby we perceive, we love God, because he laid down his life for us, and we also laid down our lives for the brethren. Did you see that? Hallelujah. For whoso has this world's goods, material prosperity, material things, right? And see this brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Did you see that? How can you say you have the love of God when you have things in the natural, and then you have a brother that has a need? We dealt with this last week during Satan material world. He said, how dwelleth the love of God in your heart? Hallelujah. He just said to the brother, oh, God bless you. The stomach is filled. I didn't know that. He's hungry, give him one drink. Say, your stomach is filled. Put your hands there. Say, food. What is all that?
Give him foodie. He says, I'm hungry. Oh, you're hungry. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I believe in miracles. Put your hands there. So, do you think the food you eat is because of your stomach is? So if you want to take down of the food? Hallelujah. Amen.
I want to taste the food and you perceive the aroma. Sorry, it's why embarrass my school. Amen. Amen. You perceive the aroma, you want to taste the food. Hallelujah. It's just the same way. You don't just enjoy it. You say, yeah, I want to eat, I want to eat, and then I give you bitter leaf, or give you bitter leaf soup that the bitter leaf, I didn't wash it. Will you eat it? The news of the stomach, it will pass somewhere. Food. How can you say that? Hallelujah. Amen. So John says, how do I let the love of God in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in words. Do you see that? Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do you see that? In deed and in truth. So love can be expressed. That's what John is saying. Love can be expressed. Don't say, I love you with my mouth. No. Love can be expressed. Hallelujah. You express it. Among believers, you can express that love. You have clothes you no longer wear. You carry them to burn. And there's a brother or a sister who doesn't have clothes. And you are burning it. Say, why don't you burn it? I don't need it again. I just know that you are okay. Why don't you? No, I love you. For mouth. Amen. That's bad. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at what he says there. He says, verse 19, and hereby we know we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, let's not love in words. Let's not love in words. So that means our relationship with the brethren shows how we treat God. Look at verse 17. He said, whoso hath this world goods, and sees this brother have need, and shut off his bowels of compassion, how do I let the love of God in him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we can't say we love God and not love the brethren. We can't say we love God and don't love the brethren. Because if you say you love God and you don't love the pure brothers, God whom you cannot see. Amen. Amen. God cannot see your brother that you can see. You are not showing love. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we love. And that's what we've seen from God. If you read all down through chapter 5, you see that. John basically spoke about it. Hallelujah. To chapter 5. In chapter 3 to chapter 5. On love. That we love because we are seeing it from the Master. Hallelujah. Paul will say, God commended his love towards us. In our while we are yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very vital.
So you can't say you love God and you don't love the brethren. It's wrong.
Hallelujah. So we can see our love for God in how we treat the brethren. Take note. You know the love for God
in how you treat the brethren. You know, I heard this one time and I said it to someone. So I said, God didn't tell you to open your mouth and be professing love to him. Lord, I love you to my bones. I love you to my manners. Lord, he wants you to express it. Hallelujah. Let's know you love God. It's not in your words alone. Hallelujah. We know you love God in your action. How do you treat the believer? How do you treat the believer? Some people don't have the hatred towards people. No. No. How do you treat the believer? You don't have a choice on how you should treat the believer. When people say, it's based on my mood. No, you don't have that choice. Hallelujah. No matter how your mood is. Once it's dealing with the believers, you have to change that mood by force. Hope you're following me. By force. It's not about the mood anymore. So look, I used to have mood swing. It's only mood swing. It's jungle over. I have a mood jungle over. No. You have to change it by force. Because it's the prayer. That's our scripture passage.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me.
You can see you love God and you treat the brethren bad. Your brother comes, your brethren comes to your house because they are not wearing clothes that they've used comfort to baptize. He comes to your house, you now tell the brethren to sit on the floor. Why? How? Brethren come to your house and you go to use rubber plate. When somebody else comes, use golden spoon. Don't use golden spoon. Someone else comes. That came with convoy. Use glass cup. No. But as a matter of principle, I think in my house, I'm the only one that you don't come at the business and then they give you rubber cup. I use rubber cup. It's my house. Yeah.
The people are funny. Don't give brethren anyhow thing. Believe out. The believer will say, Lord, I love you.
Show it.
Hallelujah. Show it. Is there a writer? So you must learn to treat the believer right.
We have a brotherly duty. What about sisterly duty? Amen. We have a brotherly duty of love towards one another. Take note, I said you don't choose the person. You don't choose who is born again and who is not going to be born again. But you are born again into that family. Hallelujah. So it will be very wrong. You are now creating factions. There are some people you don't greet. Some people greet you, you just cut your head off. Like barbed wire. Somebody is greeting you. Hey, brother. Brother is there. How are you? Oh, I guess you're delivering your call. Sister, good afternoon. Hey, brother is there. How far is the contract?
You are a...
You're a torso. You do that.
Everybody is afraid. See, I'm getting, by teaching you this brotherly duty,
I'm going towards believers' conversion that will happen next month. It will lead into our believers' meeting. I know what I'm teaching. I mean, into Holy Ghost with that. This is very powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because somebody doesn't put on, you never have a happy faction in church. Because someone doesn't put on perfume. And you are receiving every manner of signal. And then God says, well, sister, welcome each other to church. You so depend by the fact. You went. How are you?
God bless you. How are you?
Amen. You're a bushmeat. How can you be doing that? Amen. How one should hawk?
Hallelujah. How you treat the brethren is very vital. Very vital. Very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, we hope to get... Yes, I promised that we're going to round up today, but not today anymore. I'll push one by one more week. Hallelujah. Let's see 1 Corinthians 10. Then we'll begin to pray. 1 Corinthians 10. Quickly. 1 Corinthians 10. Look at what Paul said. Okay, let me give you a background. The background, like I said, you know, so 1 Corinthians strife, envy, right? Division, murmurings. Strife, envy, divisions, murmurings. So, what Paul did in chapter 10 was Paul now warned the church by using the church in the wilderness. The children of Israel in the wilderness. He said, see, all those things happened to us and all this happened to them for an example, verse 11, that we shouldn't, and we're waiting for our admonition to the end, upon whom the ends of the world are come. If you read verses 6, it says, all these were our example to the intent that we should not lust after the things that they also lusted after. Did you see that? So, he used the church in the wilderness, or the Israelites in the wilderness, as examples why we shouldn't murmur. Did you see that? Why we shouldn't lust over vain things that they lusted over. Okay, follow me. Then in verses 15, it says, I speak to wise men. Judge ye what I say. He said, the cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Stop. He wasn't talking here, he's not talking here about Holy Communion service. Communion. It's communion service. No. Hallelujah. Look at what he's saying. Hallelujah. It's not communion service. Hallelujah. It says the cup of blessing which we bless. Watch that. The cup of blessing which we bless. It says the bread which we break. Now, if you go back to Acts of Apostles chapter 2, they have that kind of example. Acts 2. Acts 2, quickly. Put your hands in 1 Corinthians and go to Acts 2. Amen. Okay. I read verse 42 and verses 46. Now you see. Okay, verses 42. It says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Breaking of bread there means that they went about sharing food. They shared food amongst themselves. This is that. So the way they're doing it, remember, as at this point, 3,000 people were saved. Now, not 3,000 people that were saved, they were people who came from Pentecost. During Pentecost celebration, Israelites, Jews from all over the world, come down to Israel. Just like the way they have the Chinese break, where Chinese come back and have their festival. So Pentecost was like that. They will come in and have that Pentecost. So now people came in, 3,000 got saved. Now those 3,000 didn't go back. Bible says they were added to them. So that means they didn't go back to their location. That is how important the gathering is. They got saved and they didn't go back. When you come from Ecuador, you're going back to Ecuador. No, you're back. You're here. So many of them didn't plan to stay that long. Didn't plan to stay, right? But salvation met them. Hallelujah. So they stayed back. They didn't go back. That's why we can't see this. That's why I tell people,
see, your new, you being born again will determine every other part of your life. Will determine every other part of your life.
Hallelujah. So they stayed back. No food. Most of them might run out of cash. And so what did the others do? What did every other person do? They went out from house to house. That means these guys, if they don't have a place to stay in Israel, brethren will house them. Right? Right? Brothers will house them. So they went from house to house breaking bread. Meaning they were having love feasts. They were sharing food. Love feast among themselves. Hallelujah. Love feast is not a particular day in the year where we gather. No, no, no. It was regular. So they were sharing love feast. Having sharing of food. So they were breaking bread together from house to house. Look at verse 46 now. Look at verse 46. 46 is a bit clearer. And they continued daily. Listen, look at that. Verses 45 first, it says, many sold possessions and goods and parted to all men as every man had need. So they sold their, those that were around sold their property so that there will be money to feed the brethren. Did you see that? Look at verse 46. What kind of love is this? This is the love of God shared abroad in our heart. Verse 46. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
Singleness of heart means without grudge. I bought goats. I killed the goats. I went to everybody's house. Everybody gathered and then we shared goats everywhere. People were eating. So they had this as a normal practice of to show love. Did you see that? That nobody should be hungry in church. Nobody should be hungry. So they shared things around. With singleness of heart. It shows unity among them. Hallelujah. No, whether I was for this, I was for that. No, no, no. So now,
listen. Now, this is what they were. Now, this is also what was the practice that got into Corinth. They had times where they would come and then they would share foods among themselves. So Paul picks that up. Now, take notes. First of all, this is not Holy Communion service, right? Have you seen it? It was a regular practice that they had. So now look at what Paul says. Then the cup of blessing which will bless. It's not a communion of the blood of Christ. Now he used the word communion there. He has the word fellowship. Koinonia. Hallelujah. Fellowship. It's not a communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which will break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what he's saying here, let me put it like this, he's saying our love for the brethren in our feast, you know, when we share together, he says it's a reflection of our love for God. That's what he's trying to tell them. It's a reflection of our love. It's not the communion, the fellowship we have. Hallelujah. In the body of Christ. Now in look at verse 17. 17 now is the pointer. So for you to see that what he's talking about, the bread there, was not talking about physical bread now. He says, look at verses 17. He says, for we being many are one bread. Did you see that? He brings that in. We being many are one bread. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And one body. For we are all partakers of one bread. He's showing them our union. He showed them our union together in Christ. Did you see that? So what they were doing as their love feast was supposed to be a reflection of who they are in Christ. Did you see that? So now, he now says, we are all one bread. We are partakers. And you must never forget this. This is where our source is. We are all in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, your body of Christ is not, don't think of body as physical body, as we are all bodies. So say, I'm his eye, I'm his ear. No, that's not what he's talking about. Amen. Amen. It shows our compartment together. That's what it means. Compartment together in Christ. Glory to God. We are compacted in him. We are all in him. Hope you are following me. We are all in him. No matter your age, no matter your social status, hallelujah. Okay, you know what I mean? Whether you have 10 cars, 2 cars, 1 car, bicycle, keke, we are all together. So, listen.
in the local church there should be no dividing factor.
Oh, what are you saying?
There should be no dividing factor.
They don't like social status seats.
No. If there should be any difference, it will be between the congregant and the pastor. For yes, that shouldn't be a major difference. It's just the honor.
Hallelujah. And the office.
But we are one first. Hallelujah. I should be able to receive and to give to you. You mustn't miss that at all. You mustn't miss that at all. We are one. So there should be no segregation amongst us. Come on, hear me. No segregation. No,
me. I cannot sit in front of you. I want to sit to be at the back.
No!
There should be no segregation. See, I cannot sit in my house. I don't have to sit near a sister. I have to sit near a lady.
We will sit together. Amen. If I will take a lady, sister, I love you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Must let you do that.
And your head will not be going to moon and star.
It will be the love of God.
Amen. Amen.
But let us do that.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, he calls our union together. He calls it the bread. He calls our union the bread, the body of Christ. We are all in Christ. Hallelujah. The one bread is the body of Christ. We are inseparable. We are inseparable. We cannot, we are not, see, we are inseparable. Hallelujah. We are compacted. Hallelujah.
In the new birth.
Hallelujah. So we can see here that Paul is not dealing with Holy Communion, right? Go to chapter 11, verse 17. So since we know it's not dealing with Holy Communion, then chapter 11 becomes very seamless for you to see. Verse 17. He said, now this I declare to you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better but for the worse. Did you see that? So, he's dealing with their coming together, their gathering. Did you see that?
Listen, their gathering. He said, they came for the worse. Now, what was supposed to be the better? Chapter 12, verse 1, concerning spirituals. Right? Right? That should be the factor, the main factor. Because if you understand it's concerning spiritual, you will have no issue with sharing things. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me.
Now look at that chapter 11 now, verses 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions amongst you, and partly I believe it. For there must also be heresies, which is factions amongst you, that they which are approved may be made manifest. When you come together therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Do you see that? He's changing their mindset. He says not to eat the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For in eating, so that means they now turn house service to come and be eaten.
No longer war. It has gone overboard. They will come eat, drink, hide. Some people will be low, some people will be high.
That's not police. Oh, you'll be high. Look at verse 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. So people are high, people are low.
And that's problem. Did you see that?
So Paul was saying, when you come together, it's not for own jail. It's not spiritual. But it went overboard. Hope you follow me. In fact, not just overboard, you're going to see something now. Some people now have, some people don't have. So those who have, let's share with their own. So that be rich men association.
We will have a bit, let's say, so I'll come with shawarma, you'll come with pizza, we'll just share, and you'll come with a cocktail. Yeah, we'll be men. We'll be men.
Yeah,
we'll be men. Only those guys. They are poor.
They don't have this dedication in church.
We say, who are we? We are just a new church. We are glad to be like this. Let's be great. What do you have, cocktail? What do you have? You know, our pastor just did it. We're going to have a feast.
What are you?
A gown, sir. A gown? What are you? We are just gowning.
What are you, great church? What are you? We are just soldiers for Christ.
We are the real soldiers. Are you? Tribulation. No, we have to look at church.
Mafugatos.
And to not bring bots in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
No! So, let us steal our own. Let us steal our own. No. Amen. Amen. Report that. You know, we can do that. I think we just come to church, we'll see you, we'll see somebody at the mountain, and just
go. No! Hallelujah!
No. Hallelujah! No! Glory to God. Amen! So they started having such kind of factions in church. That's why Paul said there are factions amongst you. This one has the association of those who have. Association of let's just jeep owners. Association of legacy vest owner. Associations of Okada rider or Okada enterer. Association of MD. In church! So association of MDs will come, will kick out. Association of Okada riders will just share grief. So Paul now picks on them in verse 22. He says, what? I'm reading like this, Paul is writing, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? This is not verse 2. See, don't you have houses? Can't you eat and get drunk in your house? What was even in church? He's sent to address what should happen in church. Fourth should be spirituals, right? Amen.
Amen.
So he now started turning church to Poapo. He says, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not. Did you see that? So that means there were people who didn't have. Did you see that? What have I to say to you? Shall I praise you? In this, I praise you not. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Now, why did he bring in this Passover table? Why did he bring it back? He's not to bring the Passover table for you to think it is Passover he's discussing. No. He brought the Passover table like the same way he brought the bread in chapter 10 to see we are one. You guys don't know me. So you see, someone said, I heard it from someone, I said, what kind of nonsense is this? He said, we know that the essence of the communion, we know that Christ, this communion is a symbol, but there are some symbols that are sacred. What kind of nonsense is that? You know it's a symbol and symbol is sacred. In which village? There's a sacred, it is a sacred symbol that God himself doesn't joke with the communion service. Ha. Oh my shield. You call something a symbol and you're saying it's a sacred symbol. Symbol is symbol. Amen. Symbol is never real. It's not a real thing. So it's not called sacred symbol. A symbol is a symbol. We like Paul Odoro on it. This is a symbol. Hallelujah. It's not the real thing. So what did he do now? He goes again and he brings the Passover table. Hallelujah. And take note. Well, this is an extra from another teaching we have already. The communion table. So you can listen to that. So he goes there and then he picks that. And remember, I taught you that the communion, the Passover table, it's not like communion service. It's nowhere in Bible. Now, it's nowhere in the scripture. It's called communion table. Jesus said, the Lord Jesus on the communion table, he said, where? He said, no, sir, you had a communion table. He said, how? He said, no, sir, I only communion with your people. How? Only communion, you guys.
Okay, not you guys now. The only communion that they say is a sip of a fish tank. And one bread like that. There was a time we were making... what is that bread? Olive bread. Some bread. That is why this thing is happening. he will say break.
You cost. Yeah. So let's continue. So
then you don't put something in your mouth. That one will just melt. The body of Christ.
Not true. You see, what Jesus had with his disciples is Passover. I'm not in Passover. Hey!
Then they drink.
Then they chop. So they were eating. Then Jesus can
was having a teaching meeting. I told you, you read it from John. You discovered that it was a teaching meeting. But when Jesus was even done with that teaching meeting on the table, he went and then he greeted himself with towels and told them to come and wash their feet. It's the same teaching. So he, like Jesus would do, he would use events to talk about his work in redemption. In John 7, Jesus didn't just attend one Passover in his life. No. In John 7 was the Passover. He said on the last day of the feast, John 7 that is, last day of the feast, which is the Passover. So he didn't have just one Passover. So he had during the communion, he said, you asked which one? Communion, which communion? I didn't, so they had Passover feast. So this last Passover feast, which is just close to when he knew that, okay, the hour of darkness is come. So what did he do? They were eating. He just told them, this is my body. You know, he was discovered there and said, like, you are eating the bread, it's my body. Would you be broken for you? It was a symbol. He had a teaching meeting with John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. You see that it was a teaching. This is a teaching. Hallelujah. He taught all truth that you will understand. Hallelujah. It was a teaching meeting. So he now brings in Jesus, which is Paul. He brings in Jesus and the Passover on the Passover table. Now, remember the Passover table was a symbol. Right? Was a symbol of what he was going to do in redemption. Hallelujah. Amen. Then let's get into what we are looking at. Verse 24. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, eat. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And by the same manner, I took the cup, and when he supped, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now, listen. He said, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till you come. Stop. As often as ye drink this, eat this bread and drink of this cup. Is it the symbol or the essence? Or what is pointing to? What is pointing to? Not the symbol. It's not telling you to keep drinking cup. If not, then why is he accusing them then? Hallelujah. For the essence of it. And what was happening, there's already division. So the essence of that is to show that they are one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one body. One body. So what should happen? What's the essence of it? Love. Hallelujah. In redemption, what Jesus has brought to us in union is love. Hallelujah. So you need to talk about his what? Redemptive work. Now take note, they all enter it to show their union together with him in the redemption. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So Paul brings that up again. So when he says, do this in remembrance of me, is this our work of love or eating bread? Is it our work of love or eating bread? Work of love. Just very simple. It's not eating bread. What if I don't like bread? I don't like unleavened bread, but I like unleavened bread. I'm going to choose just bread for now. Unleavened bread. Well, you are the mommy. It's not unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Hey, stay in my there's no kind of thing you know here. Unleavened bread. I'll never note the name of the bread. Is it really unleavened bread? Yeah. So now if I want to buy bread, I say give me unleavened bread. Amen. Now let's round it up. Verse 26 says, wherefore, whoever eats shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Cup of the Lord, dear. When you hear cup of the Lord, he's not talking about communion cup, he's talking about love. Right? Right? So he used the Lord there to point to the redemption. What he hasn't done in redemption. So that is common the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Come on, what is this? The reason why people take communion and fast is because they drank it unworthily. So when you think, holy, holy, holy. Yeah. I remember I went somewhere one time. Okay, I was in school, so I attended. I went to the main campus, so I attended one of the church, the Anglican church. So it was now communion day. I don't know what to do. So let's take communion. So
this one is that I was just expecting the cup to come. We all came out. So now we're lining up. You do your hands like this to collect the bread. Like they drop it on your hands. You must not take it out. They will not give you cup. You will not see. The preacher will not clean it around you.
If you do, bing! You are drunk unworthily. And when I drank off the cup,
oh, well, the alcohol there.
Now come back to your chair. Now I'm singing him. Unworthily. So that is, so the moment you just, imagine you now know the word. You know, thank God. I'm not a rascal. You
know, just wait to think that. As soon as they give you,
woo!
Ah! Oh, they will not start you where are you at? What I hear they say is come and get low!
Because I'm playing the block!
Holy! Oh, then you will die! So you just say, you pity me. I learned how it. Then when they give my money, and when they leave and they come back, you are feeling stupid. Why would you pass your car here? You just took all the cars. Oh, there is nobody coming like you today. I will not show you my other side.
Bro. You just left cup somewhere else. Amen. But when he says to drink unworthily, what will it be? What will be the unworthily there? Is that what they had in their midst? Strife? Envy? Is that verse 18 into 19? That is the unworthily. The unworthily there means not to walk in love. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Look at verse 27. Say, wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread. I'm sorry, verse 28. Okay, sorry, 28. For let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, is it in envy, in strife? Right? It says, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Hallelujah. Discerning the Lord's body, meaning he doesn't know God's body.
He cannot discern God's body. What is God's body? Is it the bread or the people? Hallelujah. What is the Lord's body? Is it the bread
or and the cup or the people?
The people.
So my being segregated is that I don't know the Lord's body. We are members of the same body. Hallelujah. We are members one of another. We are members.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord's body isn't bread and wine, but men and women. Hallelujah. Men and women. He said, for this cause many are weak and sick amongst you, and many sleep. Many die. Now listen, many are weak and sick among you. Is it that those people who drink it unworthily are the ones that are sick? Are they the ones sick? So what is it that if you drink unworthily, that's why you drank Holy Communion and you fell sick? Because you drank it unworthily. No, he said, for this cause, he's writing to those same people who are walking disorderly, who are drinking with, who have that peace with factions, right? He said, many are dead. He said, for this reason, many are sick among you. Those who are sick are those who don't have. The rich people are enjoying, those who don't have are suffering. So he said, many of them are sick. Say, many even fall asleep because of your selfishness. Some of them are dying. So Paul is calling their attention. So it's not the one that is drinking unworthily that is sick. It's the brethren whom they have not been able to discern.
as the Lord's body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means we have a duty of care towards one another.
We have a duty of care. Duty of love towards one another.
If you are in lack, you can approach your pastor.
I said that to a lot of people. Even to those of them that are in school. Some of them go get to school and they will not call you if they have issues. Now be locking up. No, talk to someone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On Thursday, I told us if you are late,
you must not miss out that leading. We'll take it up again from this Thursday. Hallelujah. Maybe on the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We can be led that way. But we have a duty of love. Hallelujah. We have a duty to love one another, to meet our needs. We have a duty.
Hallelujah. And at the same time, so we said we shouldn't be a busybody, right? But we have a duty to meet needs of love towards one another.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something will take off. Hallelujah. Something we'll also look at next week. We'll continue from here. Hallelujah. There's nothing that should come in between the love for the brethren. Nothing. Don't allow anything. So people have now brought in competition to church. Competition. They brought it from the world. Competition to church. You are competing. Now this competition is personal. Nobody knows, but you are competing. This person uses iPhone 4. You want to buy iPhone 5. Unnecessary. Don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Why not be pressured? Ha! You want pencil gym. Buy the one that has zigzag. What is the meaning of that? Competition. No. Competition should... Ivan, I was in a place one time. A man of God said to the church members that they should embrace competition. No, competition shouldn't be found in church. Hallelujah. I understood what he was trying to say to the church, but you know, Satan plays a long game. It will now become competition, strife amongst brethren. No, don't allow competition at all. Want to look at somebody and do it better than the person? No. Hallelujah. Don't allow competition. Let's work in love. Your brother is making advancements, your sister is making advancements in career, in ministry, in work. Encourage the person. Don't say, I'm going to submit my CV. He's working in XYZ Bank. I'll go and work in BBY Bank. It's not like Pepe them
in church!
They bought 3 inches. I will pepe my own. No wonder I came late, you did come. I will pepe my own. I'm gonna buy 8 inches. Unnecessary competition. It shouldn't be found in church. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be found in church. Glory to God. Let's love one another.
I don't know how to put it now, but let's love one another because it's what God has done in redemption. We mirror it. Hallelujah. We mirror it. You can't say you love too much. No, there's nothing like that. Just show love. It's our lifestyle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Learn something, sure? Okay, let's thank the Lord.